Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM. This is the Indie News Wire. And it is Friday the 25th of August. And today on the show, we're going to speak with Carmina Eliason, the curator of the Pajaro Valley show, art exhibit called Remembering the Struggle with regards to the Watsonville cannery strike. Carmina's with me here in the studio. And if we could start off, just so listeners who aren't aware get a little bit of the background and history, talking about which strike specifically we're referring to when we talk about the big Watsonville cannery strike.
Well, the Watsonville cannery strike occurred between 1985 to 1987. It was 18 months. And workers went on strike because the canneries were going to lower their wages and take away their benefits, their insurance, and a lot of the workers were single moms, or a lot of them were women, and they needed those benefits for their kids. So they went on strike for 18 months, 1985, 1987, and it was a pretty difficult time for a lot of the community.
And so there's an anniversary coming up. What's the impetus behind this exhibit here?
The anniversary. Well, the ending of the strike would have been 1987. So last year would have been the 20th anniversary. The reason for having the exhibit has been just sort of a way to be able to honor and remember the struggle that the cannery strikers went through. And to give them, to honor them and to remember the history of Watsonville and the history of what the community went through and how it is that the community is where it is today.
What was the end result of the actual strike in terms of?
They were able to sign a contract. The interesting thing about it is that a lot of people will refer to the ending of the strike as a tie. The industry didn't win, the strikers didn't win. The strikers still had their wages cut. They were able to retain some of their benefits and the insurance, but a lot of strikers didn't even get to go back to work. So even though it was a tie, even though no one won, the strikers and the people going through those experiences, what they gained was a political voice in Watsonville.
And more than 20 years later, you're collecting art, stories. What kind of materials are coming together for this exhibit?
Well, it's pretty amazing, actually. I started out looking at newspaper articles and looking at talking to different individuals. Frank Bardicky was one individual I talked with, and he referred me up to the San Francisco Labor Archive, and I went and visited them and found these lithographs by by Andrea Kantrowitz, and they were amazing. And so, I tried to find her and tried to get it in touch with her. And it turns out she actually did about 20 pieces at the time. And in doing some more research, talking with different artists in the community, finding out that there was even more art. Deborah Green did several, two posters. Doug Binkler did a couple of posters. And then we also had a UCSE student, Jerry Grimson, who did a stone lithograph that I just picked up this morning and is beautiful. So there's so much art that was done at the time, which is amazing. And then in addition to the artwork, there's beautiful photographs that were taken for the newspapers, amazing pieces that we're hoping to display as well. And then we also are going to be displaying or have on exhibit the documentary by John Silver called Watsonville on Strike, which is a good accounting of what happened, kind of takes you through the timeline.
A film,
documentary done at the time. He was on the support committee, I believe, and I've talked with him, talked with lots of other people, and we're also in the process of gathering stories. Graciela Vega is going to be collecting stories at our big event on August 1st. And throughout the exhibit dates, we'll be trying to collect stories and pulling them together so that way we have a record of what happened.
So this it sounds like the exhibit's really still coming together. You're still collecting art, and things are still coming up where people are saying, "Oh yeah, I have some art from the strike," or you know, as the word gets out, you're still uncovering and finding more of these stories and more pieces of work to display.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's every time I talk to someone they say, "Oh, you need to talk to this person," and so you know, and then I try to find their phone number. So it's a research project. It's a you know, it's an art exhibit. It's going to be an archive of information, and so it's kind of a bigger project than I even imagined it would be. Which is it's amazing because there are every time I talk to someone, it's a new treasure that I find.
And so. Given that materials are still coming in, but what's the exhibit going to look like? You're going to have some art on the walls. There's going to be some audio recording. There's going to be a film. You know, it's a really multimedia event, a multimedia production here. What's it going to look like for folks who come in to see the exhibit?
What you're going to see on the walls is you're going to see a lot of the labor posters that were done at the time. You're going to see some black and white photography and newspaper articles to kind of give context for those who aren't as familiar with the strike. You're also going to see some pieces that weren't necessarily done for the Watsonville strike, but relate to the larger struggle, the universal struggle. So you'll see pieces by David Fleming and Bob Fitch, and you'll see those. And though they weren't taken or they weren't done at the time of the Watsonville strike, they are part of the universal fight for, you know, a political voice.
We'll mention the dates and the time several times, but if you want to talk about when this opens and how folks can see this stuff.
Sure. The exhibit will run July 30th through September 21st. And the gallery is open 12 to 4 on Saturday and Sunday, and then 11 to 4 Wednesday through Friday. And then, of course, we have our big opening celebration, and we have lots of things going on. That will take place on August 1st. At 2 p.m., we will have Hijos del Sol and Jose Ortiz. They'll be conducting a youth mural workshop. We're going to take some movable panels, and the youth are going to create a mural right there in the Watsonville Plaza. And then at 5 o'clock, we'll have Viernes Cultural. We'll have songs, poetry, speakers, and then a procession starting at 6:30. And we'll go from the plaza over to the Pajaro Valley Gallery. And 7 o'clock will be our reception at the gallery, and we'll have free food.
Right on. So the event's at the Pajaro Valley Gallery. That's at 37 Sutton Street in Watsonville. And running for the whole month of July, or the whole month of August, and a good chunk of September.
Mm-hmm.
Open during the week, Wednesday to Friday, and then weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. And so there's also a website that's up, rememberingthestruggle.org, making sure. And you mentioned, and I'm looking at it, you're putting up some of the art or some of the exhibit, some of the information as a bit of an archive, right?
Yeah, we have some amazing information that was given to us by the Labor Archive and Research Center up in San Francisco, as well as the Pajaro Valley Historical Association. They've both given us some materials to put up online. And so we have a small archive, a digital archive of newspaper articles that you can go, if you want to do your own research, take a look at the material. If you have material, we would love to be able to put it up there. If you have anything that relates to the strike, we can scan it and put it in there.
And then you also mentioned that you're collecting stories for radio listeners. We can tell you where to find the visuals, but you know, the stories that folks are giving, the oral history. You mentioned that you're collecting some of that and talking to folks who were actually involved at the time.
Yes. Graciela Vega is going to be conducting some interviews throughout the exhibit dates. And probably the best way to, if you have a story to share or know someone, is to get in contact with me so that way we can coordinate that. And I can be contacted on my phone, 831-536-4436. Or my email address, pvacstrikeexhibit@gmail.com. Either one of those ways you can get in contact with me. If you go to the website, you can also click on the contact button and do it that way. I'm available multiple different ways, so just, you know, let me know.
What are some of the stories that you're collecting? What kinds of, you're talking with folks who were strikers?
Yeah, we're talking with people who were strikers, who were children of strikers. A lot of the children of the strikers are adults now, and they're in the community and doing things and remembering what their parents went through, remembering sitting on the line and kind of not liking the fact that, you know, they're a little kid, they don't want to be sitting there out there all day. But they, you know, they have these stories to share, and now that they're adults, they're having a larger, a bigger, deeper appreciation for what their parents did. I've talked with people who were organizing the food handouts. It was 1,000 workers who went on strike, plus their families, and a lot of these, you know, if both parents were working for the canneries, you know, they were out of a job and only getting $55 a week strike benefits. So there was food organizing going on, clothing organizing, whatever they could.
I'm speaking with Carmina Eliason, the curator for the Remembering the Struggle exhibit that is showing for the next 6 or 8 weeks in Watsonville. We'll be right back. This is the Indie Newswire on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM. Free Radio Santa Cruz. This is the Indie Newswire. And again, I'm speaking with Carmina Eliason. And she's the curator of this exhibit that we've been talking about, Remembering the Struggle. Carmina, I wanted to ask you how you got involved specifically with this exhibit, but also in general, your background with regards to curating art history or local history or...
Well, it's interesting, actually. I majored in cultural anthropology over at CSU Monterey Bay, and I'm an artist, but I haven't spent a lot of time on my art in the last few years. But I first learned about the strike in one of my classes over with Dr. Manuel Carlos, and we watched the documentary Watsonville on Strike. We actually would take field trips over to Watsonville to kind of get to know the community and understand it as a transnational community, a community of people where, you know, they're immigrating from Mexico. They're raising their children here, and just as this for me, it was an amazing experience learning about the spirit of Watsonville. And during that time, my senior capstone project over there was taking photographs and sort of collecting some stories over at Pinto Lake, where they have a shrine to the Virgin of Guadalupe. And I took some photographs and had a little mini exhibit at the library, and where it was able to take some of those photographs down to Mexico for a mini exhibit. After I finished school, this the idea for this project came about, and I talked to the Pajaro Valley Gallery. They accepted my proposal, and since then, everybody I've talked to just getting more and more excited about it. And it seems like the momentum of this project has really kicked up in the last couple of months, and I have a feeling it's gonna really continue. It's not just gonna be, you know, oh, this exhibit is over and done with at the end. We still have all this information to collect.
Well, yeah, you mentioned that the website you're going to try to sustain beyond the exhibit as an archive, as a resource for folks. And the 20 years later, the strike was a huge, like, a big event that impacted and continues to impact and have, you know, there's a big legacy. It's not, you know, something that came and went. People still have really strong reactions, pro and con. And so I also wanted to ask, as you're gathering a lot of this information, what kind of stories you're coming across from, you know, the business community or from the people who opposed the strike at the time, what kind of either reaction or perhaps contributions from some of these other folks who might have been on the other side of the picket line?
Well, it's interesting. The people who, you know, I've talked to lots of different individuals in the community, and unfortunately, people are fairly polite. If they aren't interested in participating in the project, they'll say so and say, well, it's a little bit too political for our organization, and they'll be very polite about it. But there's definitely some tension there. There's a lot of in talking with different individuals who were supporting the strikers, you know, I've learned that people were angry that this occurred, that you know, people feel like the strike drove out the cannery or the frozen food industry in Watsonville, and that that all of, you know, all of the Mexicanos took over. That's, you know, there's this you know, feeling that's what happened, and that their community has fallen because of that it's not what it used to be. And really, there's, you know, there's that perspective, but there's also the you know, the other story of, at the time, the industry was already, the frozen food industry was already beginning to change. A lot of the industry was taking their business down to Mexico to pay labor in Mexico much cheaper than they could pay here, which is the reason for some of those wage cuts, that one of the reasons why the strikers went on strike, or the workers went on strike, was those wage cuts. And those occurred because the industry was trying to keep up with the rest, or the canneries were trying to keep up with the industry, which was trying to, you know, it was cheaper for them to go down to Mexico and to have the labor paid there at a much lower cost. And so the industry was already moving away from Watsonville and already changing. So that's been an interesting thing to kind of learn, you know, that there's this perspective of this unhappy perspective that the strikers, you know, it was their fault. But in reality, things were already occurring. There was already change going on that was beyond what they could do.
And I find, too, that that's a really common reactionary, you know, position, even 20 years later, that people have really strong feelings about it. Do you feel like, looking into the archives, into the newspapers, for example, do you feel like you're finding the roots of that attitude? Do you feel like that was, you know, the line going around in the Pajaronian or in the Sentinel 20 years back?
The perspectives that I've I've actually been focused on, I mean, I've collected a lot of the newspaper articles, but I've mainly kept that as a resource to look at online, and I haven't even been able to look through all of the articles myself. There's such a mass of information. I mean, it was almost 2 years of this going on, and a lot of the perspective that I've come across has been talking with individuals and hearing their understanding of what of the events and what happened, and a lot of that were supporters of the strike. And what's interesting is they take the, you know, they know both sides of the story. The ones that I've the people I've talked to, they say, well, you know, people are saying this, but this also happened. You know, there was this other story going on, and that's one of the interesting things about going through the process, talking to people, researching, is finding new stories as you talk to new people and going, wow, I didn't even realize that that had happened, or that this was, or that was an issue. You know, I mean, among the strikers themselves, there was political tension. And that's also, you know, something to think about as you're putting together this kind of a project.
I want to come back again to that reaction, that idea that somehow, like, you described the result of the strike in terms of the issues that were the reasoning behind the strike. You described that as a tie, and you've described the attitude that it was a negative thing for industry. It further drove industry out. It further polarized the community, however you want to put it. You referred to some just blatant racism of, like, the Mexicanos have taken over now because of, and that is a negative thing. But you also hinted at the positive effects, the building of the community that came out of the strike, if we could focus on that for a little bit too.
Yeah. One of the most beautiful things about Watsonville to me is its spirit. And a lot of people have talked about this strike as a changing force in the community, that it changed how people thought about, you know, about themselves, about what kind of voice they had. And I think it's the most amazing thing to see, you know, people who are a community who is probably marginalized, who is probably, you know, not given, you know, they weren't given a voice. And then to see them take that voice, you know, say, I have a voice, and to use that, you know, still to this day. I mean, the teachers' union is amazing. They're always, you know, fighting for what they feel is just, and for what works for them as teachers. You know, there's the, you know, they continue to have, you know, on May 1st they have the immigrant rights rally, the labor rally. They continue to have, everyone, this community continues to have a voice, and that's, I think, one of the most amazing things that has, you know, come out of this. And there's so many organizations in Watsonville that had their root, had its roots in the strike. La Manzana Resource Center, from my understanding, Salud para la Gente, several organizations that had its roots because people learned to band together and learn how to take care of each other and to have that, to say that we can do this, we can have a voice.
If you could take us back a little bit to 1985 to 86, and talk about if these organizations and these movements grew out of the strike, what was going on in the strike that led to that? What kind of organizations, how were they given voice? How are they voicing and getting their information out, the strikers? And how are they organizing? You mentioned food distributions and, you know, any kind of publication or a way to get the word out about what was happening with the strike, you know, all the different, if Salud para la Gente and La Manzana came out of it, then there had to be some kind of, you know, youth-centered or health-centered projects going on. During the strike, what was happening that would have led to such a big movement coming out of the worker struggle?
Unfortunately, I haven't been able to get to, or I haven't gotten the chance quite yet to do some research on exactly how those organizations, you know, how they began their organization as organizations. But I had an opportunity last week to talk with Lydia Lerma, whose son is Santos Lerma, and he's the president or the director of the Teamsters 912. And that was the same union that was that was involved during the strikes. And in talking with her and learning about her story, she was the person in charge of getting all of the food donations. And, you know, listening to her story, you know, it was a lot of work. It was a lot of going to the Bay Area, going and trying to get donations from people, because it's not just getting donations and handing them out. They had, 1,000 workers that they had to give food to and to try to get them something so they could make it through, make it through each week. It was also, sometimes there wasn't enough food. Sometimes you had to give, if there wasn't enough of one thing, you had to, in the boxes that they would give away, they had to try to make up for it in another way. And there still wasn't, quite enough food to get through the week. So it was a hard job. It was very difficult. Her story, actually, we were able to video record, and that will be on display, at the exhibit. So, that would probably be, looking at some of, at her story would probably be a really good way to learn about how, people organized during the time.
The strikers themselves, the workers, were organizing food drops and food distributions. And you mentioned that it was the Teamsters Union that was on strike. What kind of, was there a strike fund? What kind of support was the, was that union or other unions doing to keep the workers afloat?
Unfortunately, I haven't been able to get to doing some of that, because there were so many little details in talking with Lydia and Kuka Santos is another striker who I've been in contact with, and there are just so many details and so many stories, and unfortunately I haven't been able to get to that one.
But they were living on strike benefits.
They had $55 a week strike benefits. So that's, if you have two, a mom and a dad, trying to take care of their family, it's $55 isn't going to go very far. A lot of people lost their houses. There's one story of a woman. She had just bought a house and a car, and she had to get rid of them. She had to sell her wedding band, just to survive. So, people did what they could.
You don't have to, name names or out too many people on the air, but if you could kind of draw some of the lines for who was on each side of this, whether the strike was respected by other workers, whether there were, what kind of animosity was going on, like specifically on the picket line or in general in the community, how did folks line up on one side or the other of the picket line?
The picket line actually is an interesting part of, or an interesting story, part of the larger story. There were a lot of rules that were when they first started striking, after they first started striking, there were a lot of rules dictating how many strikers could be on the street and at what corner, and if there were too many, they were going to get arrested. And a lot of UCSC students came down and got arrested, and there was a lot of that kind of thing going on. You'll see images on the website of the police in riot gear, going out and trying to control the crowd and you'll see a lot of like this, I can't remember the name, but the tear gas. Yes, you'll see images of that, and even in some of the art, you'll see that some of those images displayed. The other thing that was going on was that there were a lot of scab workers going in and working for the companies, going in and working for the industry, and I've come across flyers that were distributed that says. That like a wanted poster with pictures of the scabs, and kind of pointing out, and they would put them on cars, trying to get them to understand what they were fighting for and what rights they were after. And there will be a couple of photographs up in the exhibit of some of the strikers going to the homes of the scabs and trying to talk to them and trying to tell them about, you know, their rights and what they're fighting for. So there's lots of, you know, on the line, there were a lot of stories even there.
And we're talking about an 18-month strike?
Yes.
So just the amount of time sustained. I mean, like you mentioned, people losing their homes, not having income for that amount of time, pawning their wedding bands, you know, selling their cars. And yeah, if a scab worker's crossing the line and, you know, you've been on the picket line for 12, 13 months, it's a huge polarizing. I mean, it sounds like the community is still not only, I mean, remembering the struggle and learning some of the history again and paying attention and learning from the history, but it sounds like there's still some wounds as well. Some real deep, like some of it might've been dealt with, some of it might not have, but the fact that Watsonville is still quote unquote recovering from this, makes a big difference. The exhibit, which again runs from July 30th to September 21st, and is at the Pajaro Valley Gallery at 37 Sutton Street, is trying to bring such a wide variety of material together. How long has this been in the works? How long have you been working on this? It sounds like this has been your project for quite some time.
Yeah, probably about the last year and a half, almost 2 years. I've been working on it and trying to pull it together, and it's been an amazing process. I, you know, talking with different community members who were either, you know, around during the time, who remembered, you know, what was going on, or strikers themselves, you know, people who, or people who, you know, and some of the artists who may not have been around at the time, but who are, you know, politically motivated, and they're, you know, they do political art, and talking with them and having them tell me the stories about what's going on in their communities. And it's just been an amazing process going and learning the stories. As a cultural anthropologist, that's my, you know, my absolute favorite thing is learning people's stories and hearing where they're coming from and seeing all those different pieces fit together.
I'm speaking with Carmina Eliason, curator of this exhibit. And we will be right back on Free Radio 101.1 FM. Radio 101.1, the Indie News Wire, every Friday from 10 to noon. So Carmina, besides the exhibit itself that's running for a good chunk of the summer and into the fall, all the way till September 21st, although folks should come out for the opening and early in the exhibit rather than waiting till September, there are a bunch of other events going on, stuff you've been planning to, you know, both remind folks to come in to this exhibit, but also just to to spread out this remembrance, this honoring the history of Watsonville and bringing more people involved in remembering the struggle. What else is going on in Watsonville and here locally?
I've been working with different organizations in Watsonville, and just we have an informal collaboration, an informal coalition, and we've been trying to work on getting advertising out for events that sort of all it was interesting. All of these events just sort of came about in August, and we were like, wow, we should really be putting these together because people should all, you know, the people should be coming out to these events. So in addition to the big opening on August 1st, which I would love everyone to come to, in addition to that, on August 20th at 6:30, there'll be a conversation on overcoming racism and building a racially just county, and that's going to be hosted by the Countywide Community Dialogue on Race, Poverty, Equality, and Justice. And that's going to be at the United Presbyterian Church at 112 East Beach Street in Watsonville, and that's free admission. And the contact for that would be Joseph Barnt, and he can be reached at 831-345-6349. And then we also have on August 21st, the Pajaro Valley Cesar Chavez Democratic Club is having a fundraiser at 6 o'clock at the Green Valley Grill, which is at 40 Penny Lane in Watsonville. And they're going to be celebrating actually the 20th anniversary civil rights this particular case that came about in Watsonville, Dolores Cruz Gomez versus the city of Watsonville. Cruz Gomez was a striker during the Watsonville strike, and she sued the city of Watsonville for not having good enough representation on city council. And so as a result of her suing the city, we now have district elections. And Watsonville was the third city in the U.S. to have district elections. So that's a pretty big deal. And they're going to be honoring her and honoring that that struggle, that fight. And for more information about that, you can contact Luis Alejo at 831-726-6032. You can also come out to a free event on August 22nd, and we're going to be having an evening with Cruz Gomez and remembering the Watsonville Cannery strike and the voting rights struggle. And this event is going to be hosted by the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And if you have questions about that, you can contact Jean Perano, and her phone number is 831-724-8051, and bring a dish to share. It'll be a potluck. And this is also at the United Presbyterian Church, 112 East Beach Street in Watsonville. And then the last event that we have going on is the Watsonville Pride March and Rally, which I think is going to be amazing. It should be really exciting. This is hosted by the Watsonville Pride Subcommittee of Somos LGBT. If you have questions, contact Olga Fuentes. Her phone number is 831-706-6824. And the event is August 24th at 11 a.m. The march is going to start at the corner of... let's see here. I think I have the location wrong on this particular flyer. I think it'll be Union and Peck, I believe, right near the plaza. And then at 12 p.m., we're going to have a rally at the Watsonville Plaza. And between 1 and 5, we'll have music, poetry, food, dance, and some community booths.
So there's a lot going on.
August
in Watsonville.
Yes.
Right on. It sounds like a lot of, like, as you mentioned, a lot of the organizations involved in this coalition are working on all of these events. I know WILF is working on is in the coalition that's putting on the listening session. And, a lot of the names are involved in all of these events. And so we've got an opportunity for folks to come and testify about racism in the community that's ongoing, their personal experiences, to learn about local history, to participate in Watsonville's first Pride. A lot of folks are working together and cooperating, supporting each other's struggles, getting the word out and hopefully turning people out for these events. Right on. Then talk about the exhibit one more time.
Okay, well, the exhibit is going to run July 30th through September 21st. And the name of the exhibit is Remembering the Struggle, and or Recordando la Lucha. It'll run it'll be open. The gallery will be open on Wednesday through Friday, 11 to 4, and Saturday and Sunday from 12 to 4. Admission is free, so you don't have an excuse not to come. And we're going to have our big opening event on August 1st. I'll go ahead and repeat the schedule because I think it's really exciting. You should all come. It's 2 p.m. We'll have a youth mural workshop at the plaza, and that everything is free. So the youth mural workshop is free. All of the materials are going to be provided. 5 p.m. we'll have Viernes Cultural. We'll have speakers, poetry, music, and song. And that's at the Watsonville Plaza as well. At 6:30, we're going to start our procession over to the Pajaro Valley Gallery, and we'll have the community opening of the art exhibit at 7 o'clock, and that's at 37 Sutton Street in Watsonville. And again, that's free, and we're going to have some free food.
That sounds awesome. I hope I can make it. I hope I can be there. I'll definitely be at the event, though, and come see the exhibit. And I encourage all the listeners to do the same. Carmina, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I enjoyed hearing about it, and I'm looking forward to seeing the art and hearing some of the audio and seeing these documentaries and learning more. So thank you much.
Thank you.
Free Radio 101.1.